She is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black history and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
Thank you for joining another episode of Andrea P. Jackson IGTV video. It is Mental Health Awareness Month. It's a very important month for me and for many people. I want to talk about today what it's like to be the family member left behind once your lost one has taken their life. I don't think we speak about it enough. The pain that's left with the children, the pain that's left with the mom, the dad, the siblings, the friends, the mate. When I think about that, and when I think about, I always ask myself this question: did my sister think about the pain that would be left behind with her children, with her family? And for years of writing about this, I realized, no, she was not capable of thinking that far and that deep into it. Even if it crossed her mind that my children would be left behind, somewhere in her mind, she thought that her children would be better off without her than with her here. And as a mother, I would tell you, no matter what your parents are, no one could replace your parents. No one. And I know, as loving as my sister was, as kind, as giving as she was, she struggled with her mental health for a very long time. And, you know, I can't say, well, this is the first time she tried to commit suicide and it actually happened. It's like, no, she's tried several times. Unfortunately, she was successful at the last time, but she tried to do this many times. So I would say that she struggled with this for many years. And I just wish that the knowledge I have today, the access that I have today, I wish it existed back then. I wish that our community, the Black community, didn't put such a stigma on mental health. And, you know, you can't talk about your feelings, and, you know, what happens at home should stay at home. We were raised like this for generations, and it's hard to break that cycle. And to see now that we're finally scratching the surface of this, I want to talk about what is the families left with? What are they left with? The trauma, you know, the blame game, you know, what could I have done better? What didn't I do? I failed as a mom. I failed as a sister. There's so many different things. And then you think about the children that will not grow up with their mom or their dad. What do they think? You know, and I feel We need to talk to those families. We need to give them a platform. We need to give them a forum where they can actually say what that was like for them. What was it like for their children that was left behind? What thoughts were they going through? Because I think if I can change anything, or if I could say anything to my sister, it would be this. It would be, can you imagine what your kids are going to think when their mother is not here? Who's going to love on them like you? Who's going to accept them for whoever they are? Who is going to take them, you know, to their first communion? Who's going to take them to their first day of school? Who's going to go through that journey with them? I wish I could have had those deep, deep conversations. I'm sure my mother did with her. But we unfortunately did not have the tools to help her in the way she needed to be helped, because Black people are not taught to go and get help for their mental health. We are taught we're strong. We've been through slavery. We've been through all these different things and adversity, and we came through it through the other side, and we can get through anything. And it's almost, it's like, if you do go get help, if you do speak about mental health and that you're struggling, that you're weak. And I think this is why we, as a people, we don't go. Because somehow we're not strong enough to deal with the real world, when that is the complete opposite. I think it takes a strong person to say, I can't do this alone. I need help. I need someone to help me. And I just wish, you know, she would have realized that the adversities that she's been through in her life prior to this happening, she got through it somehow. I just wish she would have sought a doctor and stuck with it. I wish she would have taken her meds. And I wish she would have realized how much her children did need her, because they have struggled in so many ways. They have so many questions that some I answer and some I don't think it's my place to answer. You know, unfortunately, I think that's my sister's place. We really need to have conversations with our loved ones that are struggling. It is not a quick fix. It's a huge investment. You have to be invested. I know we're all busy with our lives. We're busy with our children and our family and our careers. But when we have a family member or a loved one struggling, you have to ask yourself, have I given my all to help them? Have I researched every resource? Have I called up doctors to make sure that they're keeping up with their doctor's appointments, they're keeping up with their medication? Are they eating right? Are they digging deep to those uncomfortable layers that they may not want to tap into of what caused this? Sometimes looking back is very hard for some people, but we have to in order to move forward. You know, we need to give therapy to those children who have lost their parents, to those parents who lost their daughters or their sons. Because I tell you, although they're gone and they have moved on, their families have not moved on. And that in itself will give you stress and anxiety. And now they have to live with this every day. And they have to now pick up, put their boots on, and trek through this journey of blaming themselves. And if we don't get help, then we're going to continue the same cycle. You see, I feel my sister committing suicide did not go in vain, because I've learned from her what not to do. And what not to do is to sit there and wallow in it and not ask for help. You have to tell people how you're feeling. You have to make that investment in yourself, no matter how painful it is. I'm not telling you it's easy. It's tough to make that phone call to the therapist. It's tough sitting there with someone with a pen and a pad, you know, going through, you know, your journey, going through your family tree. It's tough bringing up some things, but I had to do it, because I was not going to take my life and leave my mom to bury another child and to have that emptiness in her heart. And I was damn sure was not going to leave my kids behind for somebody else to raise them. When I know doggone well a mother and a father could never be replaced. I don't care where your father, I don't care if they're drug addicts, I don't care. Your parents cannot be replaced. Not saying that you can't have parents that love on you, that are not your biological parents, because you can. I've seen it happen. But who birthed you, who got you here, they matter. They're a big piece to your puzzle. They're a big piece to your DNA. So we have to, I just want to tell you, it's not black and white. Life is gray. It's never black and white. It's gray. Because if you have a family member, you have a father or parent that was abusive to you, you may not want them in your life. So there's many levels to this. I'm specifically speaking on my experience with suicide. And I'm telling you, there's things that I look back and I wish I would have done differently. Keeping my sister's secret in the last 2 years on how bad she was struggling is something I would have changed. I would have called my mom. I would have told my mom, you know, I dropped out of high school to really help your daughter instead of her thinking other things. And I was helping her with her two kids. I wish I was honest, because I always say if I was honest, maybe my mom could have put her into a program and we could have taken the kids so she could get herself stronger and together. We have to stop carrying people in our family secrets, and we have to sit down as a family together and work it out and talk it out. We're family at the end of the day. I understand why we may not want to tell friends. I have to tell you, because I've had that experience with confiding in friends and then having things thrown back in my face at a later time. Those people, they haven't even dealt with their own stuff, so they couldn't possibly help you. People like that, when you're trying to take care of your mental health and get stronger, you can't have people like that in your life. It's a detriment to you. You have to know your tribe. You have to know who you're talking to. If you're struggling with mental health and your friend is struggling with mental health, you both are not in a space where you can help each other, because neither one of you is strong enough. So it is just a ball of fire that's going to just burst into a big flame. You have to be mindful and know what you're dealing with and how serious this is. So what I would say to you is invest in therapy. Invest in being honest and keeping a journal about your thought process. You know, what time of the month are you thinking of these things? What's triggering you to think of suicide or not wanting to be here or even saying something like that? Because I always say, if a person could say something like that, they can definitely do it. You know, people that usually are reserved, are people that we can get to. It's the people that pretend, I call them the pretenders, that I worry most about. That says everything is great, everything is good, life is great, but they are home struggling hard. We have to be mindful of those people. We have to ask people and really care when we ask, how are you doing? Is there anything that I could do for you? Is there anything that I could do to help you? Sometimes it's something as simple as that. Are you good? And asking it again, are you really good? Because we could just do the, how was your day? How was work? How was the kids? But do you really care? Or you're just asking because you think it's the thing to do. So when we ask those questions, make sure it's genuine and that you care and that you want to know. So when that person opens up to you, you can receive it. You can guide them. And even if you don't have the answers, we can guide them to a person or to a doctor or even to another person who has actually gone through it and got on the other side of it. It's important. So it's an important month for me and for many people, and I don't think we should take it lightly. I think in any way that we can make change to make our lives better, our family lives better and our friends' lives better, why not do it? Thank you for joining me on my IGTV. Let's keep having this conversation. Let's be authentic. I know it's uncomfortable sometimes, but you know what? I think with each of us sharing our story, we can make a difference as a whole. It is Mental Health Awareness Month. Thank you for joining Andrea P. Jackson on my IGTV video today. I hope you guys watched my last video. I think a lot of people, especially this time with COVID-19 going on, are struggling with their mental wealth, is struggling with their new normal. There's so many people that is without jobs right now. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. They don't know how they're going to pay their rent or their other bills. How are they even going to take care of their children? When this first happened, I think my body, my mind could not even comprehend what was happening. And now that we're in month two of this, I have been able to wrap my mind of this is what our new normal is going to look like. And it's going to look this way for a while. But what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we telling our loved ones to do that are struggling with this new normal? It's not an easy thing. It's not anything that my grandmother, who is 99, or my mother have experienced. And so when we look to our older ones for guidance, it's hard to give guidance on something that you have not experienced. And I feel what's really amazing about this is that we're going through it as a country. It doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter your culture, your race, we're all experiencing the same thing. And what I notice that in every conversation that I've had, whether it's with colleagues or it is with friends or it's with family, everyone is struggling with their mental health right now. And it's just something simple as getting up and not being able to go outside, not being able to do what your everyday normal is. It's get up, go to work, take the kids to school, or whatever your norm is. I know you're not doing it. And so how do I get past that? And all I can tell you is this. Every one of us has had some type of struggle and have dealt with some type of turmoil in their life that they have surpassed and they have gotten to the other side. And what I can tell you is what I have been doing is I have been going back to those moments. How did I get past this? How did I get past the trauma in my life? You know, how did I deal with adversity and get to the other side? And the truth is I wanted to get to the other side. I wanted to believe that there was something great coming after all of these tragedies. I always had that hope, that belief. And I feel at this moment right now, we have to have hope and belief that we will get through this because we have all dealt with something worse than what we're dealing with right now. I think what makes this unique and different is that a nation is going through this tragedy, this turmoil, this pandemic together. But it doesn't mean that we have not been through tragedies and adversity before, because we have. We have to dig deep on what was it that we used? What tools did we use to get past that? Because I'm going to give you a list of tools that I actually have used over the years that has worked for me in many ways. Whether it was through, you know, my career with work, through my marriage, through my divorce, through raising children, I have used certain tools that has gotten me together and that has strengthened this and has made this stronger. And one of those tools are writing, reading stories that are inspirational. But reading them because it shows that it wasn't only you who have gotten past adversity and diversity and challenges and tragedies. There are other people that have gotten on the other side. And how did they do that? So I write a lot, I journal a lot, and I read a lot of inspirational stories, a lot of memoirs. and I record myself. I love to record myself, and I do it 3 to 4 times a week. Some days are better than others. Some days I am swearing, I am cursing, I am off my rocker, and it's actually okay to have those days. And I'll tell you why I record. I record one because if you don't get it out that way, which is the safest way, you're going to take it out on someone that you love and you care. And what's very scary about that is usually we'll say things that are below the belt and that we can't take back. So this is why I find my recording is very, very important for me to do. And now when I record, what I don't do is play it back right away. I let that recording sit for about a week before I play it back. And when I play it back, I know that I'm coming with a different energy than when I recorded it, because I know I'm not in that same space. That's the great thing about when you're given and granted another day. You get another day to feel better. You get another day to push forward. You get another day to say, I didn't get to do this yesterday, but I'm gonna do it today. It's a blessing to get another day to make it right. And so when you listen back to your recording on how you felt, you can pinpoint on your own, without your girlfriend, your boyfriend, you know, your family's input, you could pinpoint on your own, what is it that I need to work on? Or what is it that's festering inside that I'm actually not tapping into and I'm not dealing with? That is really important. And what you do with that information of that recording is even more important. You could either brush it off. Sometimes we have to look at ourselves in the mirror. And sometimes I have to look at myself in the mirror, and sometimes it's tough. It's tough because I feel, for me, I'm my worst critic. And I know for many of you, you are your worst critic. And so instead of beating yourself up on those things that you're not so happy about, what you can do is to turn it around and say, what can I do differently for the next time that I'm faced with this type of adversity? What could I do to be better? Okay, because sometimes our expectations we have for others, we don't have those expectations for ourselves. So in order for our mental health to be in good standing, as I say, is to take a good look to see at what are your issues and why are you having these issues, and have I caused my own issues, or have someone caused them for me? And what can I do to make change? You know, in order to break the chains, as I always say, you have to be the change. You have to be the first one to make the change, even if others around you are not doing it. The change starts with you. And then once you make that change, then you take an inventory of, you say, do I want these type of people around me? Are they going to be a product of me moving in a positive direction? And if not, I can't have that around me because I'm on a path of making change. You know, my mom always used to say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. She also used to say, who you associate yourself with is a representation of who you are. And that is big on mental health, because a lot of us know what our struggles are, what we need to work on, what luggage are we carrying on our backs that we're not unpacking. You see, some luggage, you have to just, you're going to have it because it's things of your past that you cannot let go, but you can learn to cope. But you don't have to carry the luggage. You can unpack the luggage and you can put the luggage where it belongs. And a lot of us is not doing that, and we should be. You have to be mindful of keeping a circle that is like-minded like you. You're not going to always see eye to eye. You're not always going to think alike. But the foundation of how maybe you want to raise your families, how you view relationships, how you view life, how you view yourself, how you view others. Those are important things to have to coincide with someone in a relationship, a friendship, a marriage. You have to have things that are relatable. And I think why a lot of people are struggling with mental health is because we are not surrounding ourselves with people that are like-minded like us. And that's where the struggle and the battle and the conflict comes in. Life is so short. I will say this to you. I've had a lot of death in my family. I've lost 2 sisters and I lost a father. There's many things I look back that I wish I would have done or I wish I would have said that I was not able to do, because I always say I'll do it tomorrow, next month. This is not the right time, next year. If it is going to give you peace in your mental health and it's going to push you forward to make this stronger, don't put it off. Get it done by any means necessary. Get it done. Why are we putting things off? None of us is promised tomorrow. We assume that we should be so lucky and so blessed that we'll get tomorrow. But it's not written anywhere, and it's not promised to us that we will. So it's important to make the investment in our mental health right now. Every day, on your top of the list, what am I going to do to strengthen my mental health for me? Not for my husband, not for my kids, not for my mom and my friends. What am I going to do? Because this is for me. I have to love what I see in the mirror. I have to respect what I see in the mirror. And I couldn't possibly do those things if I'm not investing in myself to do those things. So these are just a few tips that I actually use for myself that has actually worked. And I won't say it works for every situation, but I will say it works for majority of situations. It's important for all of us to have a therapist, a psychologist. Some of us need to have, see a psychiatrist and be medicated, and that's okay too. It depends on how deep this is for you. It depends, are you able to thrive through day-to-day life? These things are important, and I don't think anyone should be shamed on who they're going to see, or whether they need a psychotherapist or a psychologist or psychiatrist or a coach. It doesn't matter. You have to do what you need to do to be strong mentally, because without that, you cannot possibly really cope in this tough world that we live in today. Let's take the shame, let's remove the shame, and let's not shame others when they come to us looking for guidance or saying that I cannot do this. It's important to hear people when they speak and not pass judgment. Thank you for joining my IGTV. Let's support everybody who's promoting Mental Health Awareness Month. It is important, very, very important, that we support those who are supporting Mental Health Awareness Month. Thank you for joining my IGTV. To follow me on Instagram, it's AndreaPJackson_. Hi, thank you for joining my IGTV video. It's Andrea Jackson, your podcast host from Our Mirror's Reflections. Thank you so much for joining me today. This month of May is a special, special month for me, and I'll tell you why. It's Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's very near and dear to me for one reason and one reason only. I lost a sister 25 years ago to suicide. And it has been my mission, it's been my passion, my determination to bring awareness to mental illness. A lot of us, especially in the Black community, are suffering with this. And unfortunately, for generations after generations, we've been told what happens in the house stays in the house. My sister was a product of that. She struggled, and she struggled for years and for many different reasons. I wanted to do this video because I think, especially at a time like this, with the pandemic going on in all the cities in the USA, in the different countries of being stricken by this COVID-19, a lot of people I have found, even just people that I've spoken to that's in my circle, is struggling with mental health at this time, being stuck in our homes, not being able to move in the way that we're used to moving. Even myself, to be honest with you, I've been struggling. I mean, I love my children, I love my family, but we're not made to be locked in a house just amongst our immediate family. We are creatures that are meant to mingle with different energies and different people. And I find myself thinking a lot about what if this is our new norm for the next 6 months to a year? How are we all going to cope with this? And the truth of the matter is there's a lot of things that goes into this. If we have started this pandemic with stress, and now we have this stress on top of it, we are in overload. Overload for many reasons. I think when I think back to my sister and her journey, I believe, and I think many people struggle with being their worst critic. My sister Allison was her worst critic. She had a great heart, very good to people, would give her last to you. Very beautiful, tall, gorgeous, amazing voice, amazing personality. But unfortunately, all the things that I'm mentioning about my sister Allison, she did not feel that way about herself. And I think there's a lot of different narratives that goes into those things on why people feel the way they do. A lot of things we have experienced in our younger years, a lot of, including myself, have dealt with trauma. And unfortunately, if we don't deal with our traumas and the things that we have been exposed to, different things that has happened to us, it leads right into our adulthood, into being parents, into being citizens, into being employees or employers. It travels with you. It becomes a part of your DNA. And not until we address our luggage and the things that has happened to us, things that we have done to ourselves, because I'm a firm believer of accountability, you can't move forward. Sometimes we have to go way back in order to move forward, because a lot of things that we carry is from our past. And not until we go back and address them so that we can release them, you cannot fully move forward. You cannot fully take care of your mental wealth, your mental health. You can't make that investment in yourself. I want to say, especially to people who look like me, it's okay to say that you're struggling. It's okay to say you have anxiety. It's okay to say I'm angry about certain things that were done to me, that has happened to me, or things that I've done to people that I actually haven't forgiven myself for. It's okay to say that. It took me a very, very long time to acknowledge to myself that my sister died. And if you've listened to any of my podcasts on Our Mirror's Reflections, you would know why. And I'm not going to get into details in this IGT video today. But what I will say is, when we hold on to things, we're unfortunately unable to say it because it makes us that uncomfortable. And so there were some things that I found solitude in, was writing the things down that I couldn't say. I would also record myself on my phone, or if you have a recorder at home, you can use that, on things that you probably couldn't say, whether it was to your therapist or even to family or friends, because I think the worst thing that can happen is you are vulnerable to people and you open up and then you get a reaction that you weren't expecting. It can almost make you spiral backwards. So that's why for me, writing, journaling, recording myself was so important, because hearing a playback of myself, how I view myself, how I feel about myself, how I view people, how I feel about different circumstances I've been through, playing it back weeks later, you can almost pinpoint exactly why you feel that way. Sometimes when we're in the moment, in a situation, we don't see it. I always say this to my girlfriends, we say it to each other, is that you could always give advice when you're not in it, when you can step back from the situation and see both sides of the situation. But when you're in it, it's very, very hard to see. And when my sister was going through her depression and I was taking care of her for 2 years and her children, I was in it. And although I was helping her and doing everything to save her, that one day that I couldn't save her, she took her life. And I realized, and it took years and years, that it's not that I didn't want to save her, I couldn't save her. But the truth of the matter is, a person has to want to be saved. They have to want to save themselves. And sometimes, unfortunately, they don't have the tools and they don't know how to get the tools. And that's why I think in 2020 that we're speaking about this is so important. It's so important for us to remove the stigma of this, because the reason why people suffer in silence is because they are afraid. What are they going to hear on the other side? What are people going to think about them? You know, people use this term very loosely. Oh, she's crazy. Oh, he's crazy. Oh, he's a whack job. Those things and those terms are the same reason why people do not speak their truth, why people are afraid to share what their struggles are. I don't know one human being I feel in my life or that I have even crossed paths with that has not had some form of struggle with mental health or some form of struggle of insecurity. There's many people you could look and they can be on the top of the totem pole and say they're educated, they have these amazing careers, they have a great family. Why are they committing suicide? I'll tell you why. There was something inside of them that they feel was not fulfilled and it wasn't good enough for them. So although you may look at someone and say they have it all, I bet you, if you sat down with that person and you asked that person, how do you feel about yourself? They would give you 5 to 10 different things on what they could have done different or what they could do better. You see, what people view us as is very different from what we view ourselves as when we're looking in the mirror. It's very different. I've struggled for many years with the death of my sister, with blaming myself. If I was just there that day, if I would have just called her back, I could have saved her, I could have picked her back up, because I've done it many times. But the truth of the matter is that she was ready to go and she made up her mind and she made that decision. And what I'm trying to do with my movement, what I'm trying to do with Andrea P. Jackson is this: sharing my story, sharing my journeys. I was a young mom, I had a child at 19. I was a high school dropout because I had to take care of my sister. And to me, it didn't matter what I gave up to save her. If I had to make that choice again, I would make the same choice. I'm grateful for all the experiences that I've gone through. I'm grateful for the journey that I've been through. I've been through hell and back. And I have to tell you, the biggest thing that saved me was always believing that if I got an opportunity to do better, if I learned from my sister's suicide when I'm struggling, not to keep it balled up inside, to express to someone that I'm in pain and that I need help. That is what I learned from my sister's suicide. Everyone thought my sister was, she had it all. She was 6 feet tall and gorgeous and her hair and this and that. And to me, that for me has nothing to do with your mental health. It has nothing to do with your struggles. Those are all things on the outside. You know, what is really important is what we feel on the inside. What are the thoughts that are flowing through our minds? And many a times I would sit down and talk to my sister about that. What's going through your mind? Why don't you feel you're good enough? And she would just say, sis, I can't explain it. I just feel like I could be doing more. I could be giving more. And I would just look at her and say, but are you giving yourself? Like, you give your last to people. How could you give everything to people and not have anything left over for yourself? And what's, I think it's unfortunate, is that growing up and seeing that behavior from my sister and from my mom, I have adapted to that same behavior, giving my all to people, being fully invested, even when I know there's certain people that will not be fully invested in me. I have learned from my sister with mental health is this: you have to surround yourself with people that are like-minded like you, in the way that they share the things that you like, your personalities. There have to be a click that makes sense. It has to fit like a glove. And I think my sister was surrounding herself more with takers than with givers. And unfortunately, that was a downfall because she gave so much and she thought that if I give so much, you know, one day when I really need it, people will show up and be there for me. And outside of her family being there for her, I don't know many friends that showed up for Allison when she was struggling mentally, you know, when she was struggling with drug abuse. And it hurt her because although she opened up her ears and her heart to listen to people and to console them, that was the need that she needed to thrive. You know, and it wasn't from her family. She was big, she loved her family, but she was big also on friends. And it was a detriment to her. And I feel the mistakes that we make when, at least for me, and I'm speaking for myself and my experience, of course, is when we don't have a sense of self, when we have gone through traumatic experiences in our lives, unfortunately, it can really cost us. Because people see that, and they see when you're vulnerable, and they see when you are desperate to please everybody. And unfortunately, there's people that take advantage of that. And we have to think about our circle. We have to think about our tribe. We have to think about, is this relationship a 50-50 thing? And people say, well, most relationships aren't. And well, that's a problem because this is where mental health comes in. You feel you're giving your 50%, but you're not getting 50% back. And that could be a strain on someone. As we go through this month, I want us to really take a good look at ourselves first and foremost. And I want you to get a pad and paper and I want you to write down what are the things you love about yourself, because everybody's got to love something about themselves. And if they don't, that's the issue right then and there. And that's an issue you have to work on with your therapist, with your psychiatrist, a psychologist, a coach. There's many layers to why they're there and why they exist. The second thing you need to do is, once you get past the things that you love about yourself, I want you on the other side of the sheet, and you should divide it with a line down the middle. What don't you like about yourself? And then when you write those things down, I want you to put a little memo on why you don't like those things about yourself. And then underneath it, I want you to write down, what can you do? What can I do to make this change? How could I make this better? I know there's some things, unfortunately, in life that we cannot change. There's certain things in life that we say you need to heal and move on and get past. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things that you cannot get past. Rape, molestation, drug abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, death. You know, having a parent incarcerated, there's things that happens in children's lives and people's lives that are very traumatic. And unfortunately, what we can learn to do, because we can't forget about it, is learn to cope. And it's not a coping mechanism where you're going to cope with it and then it's going to be gone. It will be a part of your life forever. You see, I find when people are raped or molested or taken advantage of at a very young age, there is going to be triggers that happens in your life that will remind you of that moment. And this is where the psychotherapist comes in, the psychologist, the life coach, you know, the therapist, because they can help you, give you the tools on what you can do and how to handle that when that does happen. But to say to someone that they will forget and they will be healed, I think it's a lie. I think it's not true. From my experience, you will never forget. You will have night terrors. You will have bad days. There could be a scent that reminds you of something. It could be a person that resembles someone. You never know what someone's triggers are. And I think it's our responsibility, we owe it to ourselves, to dig deep enough to find out what are those triggers. And when they do happen, what could I do to contain it? What could I do to get it in check to remind me that's my past? That's not happening to me now. I can control this situation right now. That's what we have to do. I really I really, really believe that the Black community needs a lot of help with this. And I see there's many people that's on this platform today that are making change, but we're just brushing the surface. We have to continue to dig deep, because that surface goes so deep down. It goes generations after generations after generations. There's some people have lost their families and was not able to say how they felt or what they felt was done to them. And so they're never gonna get those answers. But you have to move forward for you and do what's best for you so you can find solace in yourself that I can deal with this. Mental health is not, it's not, you know, I may have lost a family member, but your experience may have not been death. It may be something else. Mental illness comes in many layers. And we have to stop thinking that it's a box and it looks like this, because it's not. There's some things that I've not experienced and that I can't relate to. And that's maybe not what I'm dealing with, but it doesn't mean that the next person is not dealing with that. So we have to be open-minded that mental illness is broad. It's broad, and we are all dealing with things in a different way. But I think the most important thing that I have learned from losing my sister to this is we have to teach ourselves on how to love ourselves. Because if we grow up in an environment where we're not loved by our parents, we don't see affection by our parents, how do we know that? How could we do something that we haven't seen ourselves or we don't know? You know, so this is where it comes in, is investigating, reading, having these sister circles, these brother circles, coming together and having these authentic conversations. And some of it is raw. And some of it, I got to tell you, when I go back, I break down. Because although I feel I've healed from certain things, when it goes back, it's hurtful, it's traumatic. But if the greater good is going to be that I know how to deal with this in my everyday life, then it's worth it to go back. Let's learn to not hang on to things when we know there's tools out there that we can use to be better, to have a strong mental health. This, to me, is most powerful and more important than anything. Because if we don't have this and it's not Trump tight, then we could be swayed and we can get into all types of things. I'm learning to make sure that I'm authentic when I'm having these conversations. Like I said, and I say it on my podcast, I'm not perfect. I'm still working on issues, especially trust issues and forgiveness. I'm quicker to forgive someone else then I am quicker to forgive myself. And that's one thing that I'm working on. So my advice to you today will be this: work on forgiving you. Because once you can do that, then you can then forgive others. But I don't really feel you can truly forgive people until you forgive yourself for whatever it is that you're holding on to. Just know that there's some things in life we cannot control. Unfortunately, that's just how the world works. And there's some things we can control. So be in control of your mental health, own it, and do not allow anyone to manipulate their way into your mental space. It's your space. You control it. You have a right to say who gets to see that side of you and who doesn't. But you have to have a tribe of people that you trust. You have to invest by finding a therapist, a psychologist, a psychiatrist. It depends on how deep it is for you, but make that investment in yourself. Thank you for joining me on my IGTV.